Namaste everyone. Welcome to the Charvak podcast. This is Kushal Mehra. So a few days ago, Abhijit had messaged me and told me ki I want to do a podcast on minority rights in India and the state of minorities in a Hindu, the condition of minorities in a Hindu state, or how do we look at minorities or the minority question in a Hindu state. And then as I was doing my prep for the podcast, today we see a video of Delhi police kicking some people, occupying the road and doing their namaz. And I'm like, abhi log accuse karenge ki in log ne janbujh ke clickbait ke liye kiya. Abhe saalo, mere to 10 din pehle ye podcast final ki thi. Mujhe kya maloom, aaj Delhi police jaake pichwade mein laat aaj hi paregi. So before somebody accuses me, chal Abhijit, abhi tu basically set up the premise, kyunki mujhe bhi nahi maloom tu kya bolne wala hai.
Dekho. I just want to say this program is sponsored by Delhi Police. Delhi Police, Dilka Police. Okay, now, see, the reason we wanted to do this is that we keep hearing from literally everyone that, you know, minority rights are being trampled. Okay, The question really is, first, what is the right? Okay, rights aren't infinite, by the way. Rights and, you know, the classic thing is the right for you to lift your elbow ends where my nose begins. But the question really is, does it end there? Because imagine you're on a plane and a fellow has his elbow constantly just near your nose, where he hasn't touched your nose, but will you tolerate an elbow near your nose also for the entire duration of, say, an 8-hour long haul from Delhi to London? You're not. So, you know, in reality, there are a lot more nuances and restrictions to it. The problem why the left keeps getting to frame this debate is because they keep shifting the goalpost. Har cheez mein, you know, dekho mere ghar ke bahar ye satsang chal raha hai, and it's so disturbing, it's ruining the peace. But five times namaz does not ruin your peace, including one at 4 a.m. in the morning and one at night. Okay, so basically, where we wanted to take this was to figure out through audience Q&A as well. Ask us the most perplexing questions you have. What you feel is the most difficult situation. What is the balance to be had and what is the principle to be applied? Think of this as a sort of first principles class. Not really a class, because we're not preaching. We're exploring together through very difficult questions. Hopefully the audience has difficult questions, because till you ask difficult questions, we don't get to explore how deep, what are the contradictions, what is the what are the restrictions, what are reasonable restrictions. Right, so that's the premise.
Okay, now in that, two, three things I actually, because you told me ki I want to talk about this very specifically. Now, the word state itself, in my thought, I believe you cannot have a Hindu state. And I have a long explanation for that. And I'm not going to take up your time explaining that today. I'm not going to waste the time. But this is a very tricky subject, because we are using the word state, but the left uses the word Hindu Rashtra. Now, I don't believe Rashtra means state. Rajya means state. So what are you talking about? Are you talking about a Hindu Rashtra, which I think India already is a Hindu Rashtra?
Correct.
Or are you,
yes.
Or are you talking about a hypothetical Hindu Rajya?
Now, here's the difference between a Hindu Rashtra and a Hindu Rajya. A Hindu Rashtra we already are mostly, except I think there is a need to clarify this in terms of foreign policy, where, you know, our man Manmohan Singh was asking Denmark for an apology in parliament over the cartoons. That doesn't work here. This is none of our goddamn business. However, when, you know, Russia was persecuting Hindus, and nobody wants to hear this, but, you know, Putin cracked down on Hinduism in Russia.
Hare Krishna.
Putin fanboys here will never open their mouths about him cracking down on Hindus. You are only allowed four religions in Russia that traditionally existed there, arbitrarily 500 years ago. So Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. That's it. Okay. Now, A Hindu Rashtra is one that actively pursues the interests and rights of Hindus because the Hindus have no advocate.
Other,
The
yeah.
Hindus being kicked out of Uganda, India did not stand up for them. It was Britain that stood up for them,
Shame
right?
on
The
us.
Hindus on shame on us, Nehru. When Russia started persecuting Hindus, it was surprisingly the UK and the US that stood up for us. It wasn't a Hindu Rashtra is where India, being the only country where Hindus run things, has to speak up very specifically and do Hindu advocacy. Hindu phobia in San Francisco and the East Coast and West Coast, we are doing absolutely nothing. Okay, we have to. We have to. On the and we just don't give a damn. So that dancer was shot and killed. To date, seven Hindus and counting have been killed in this year alone. Sought out and shot or killed one way or another in America, and we've done absolutely nothing. It's just there is a need to fine-tune it. We are already a Hindu Rashtra, but it needs to be quite explicit in that there has to be an obligation clause on the government where the government is ob obliged to protect the dharmic faiths and their issues abroad, which means Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, Sikhism, anything else in the dharmic fold that I left out?
Well, I think it should be atheists also. Atheists too.
Atheists also. Well, technically, Charvaks are one of the 12 schools of Hinduism. So, yes, you have to. Okay. Now, this is one thing. Hindu Rajya is different. And it isn't just Hindu Rajya, it's all kinds of Rajya. Islamic Rajya, Christian state, whatever you want to call it, that is a very dangerous path to go down because what happens in those countries is in every country. You look at any Christian fundamentalist country like Uganda today. You look at Islamic fundamentalist countries, Pakistan, Turkey. What ends up happening is government failure, the solution to government failure is greater piety. We were not good enough Christians. We were not good enough Muslims. We are not good enough Hindus. It will get to that level. And what is a good enough Hindu? Right? So that is a fundamentally different thing. And this is where Israel, you can see that difference. They are Jewish Rashtra, but they are not Jewish Rajya. Okay. There are no special privileges, incidentally, for Jews, because even Jews marrying outside the religion have to go elsewhere and get their weddings registered. And it has nothing to do with Jewish law. It has to do with old Ottoman law, which continues. They never changed the old Ottoman laws out here, which restricted intermarriage and things like that. Okay. So this is a long set of things. People don't understand the difference between Rashtra and Rajya. And what exactly each implication is. Okay. It is very, very important that you do not allow a religion to be used as an explanation or an excuse for government non-performance, which it has become in all 50 states of the OIC.
Fair enough. But I have a follow-up here. Now, in the case, Ismail, in fact, you know what? I'm going to take a viewer's question. This viewer has asked this question on Fanmo, and the person has said, "Hi, Kushal and Abhijit. I am of the opinion that Hindutva might mean that Hindus are first-class citizens and first amongst equals, while Muslims, Christians, Dalits, tribals, Sikhs might be second-class citizens in
No.
this scenario. Counter this statement, and what could be the possible answer? I mean, पहले मैं मेरा आंसर दूंगा कि तू तेरा देगा. तो मैं इसकी धज्जियां उड़ाने वाला हूं, मगर तू पहले दे.
Okay. See, why are you under that impression? Have you read what Hindutva says about itself, or are you going to read what the detractors say about Hindutva? See, this
Yes.
is the other thing. One of the problems, and this is, I think, a largely a Hindutva problem as well. We don't explain ourselves very well in English. We
वो
don't
कोई
use very
थियोरेटिकल फ्रेमवर्क में
best.
मानते ही नहीं है ना. अब थियरीज तो वेस्टर्न है.
Exactly. They're all Western, right? What does Hindutva mean? Hindutva is a sense of belonging to this country and its culture. It's really that simple. You know, it has nothing to do with religion per se. It is that there is, why is it that the most Kattarpanthi Hindutvavadis are all Jains? I mean, they're not Hindu, na? So why is it, you know, the best thing is when you're on Grindr in Gujarat, all the gay homosexuals in Gujarat are much more Kattar Hindutvavadis. See, normally on all these gay dating apps, I get questions like, oh, you hate-filled right-wing bigot. Okay. You go to Gujarat, you don't get any of that. You get messages saying, tu Hindu hai na, non-veg kyon khata hai? Tu Hindu hai na, beef kyon khata hai? Tu Hindu hai na, it's the bloody reverse. And it's all coming. ABC Jain, XYZ Jain, FCS Jain. Every one of them is a Jain. Theek hai? It is not. It is about accepting that you are part of a culture. And you know, this used to happen. So, for example, growing up in Madras, for example, Muslim ladies did not wear the burqa. They used to wear these beautiful silk Kanchipuram saris and they used to cover their heads with it. Right? The food, customs, everything used to be Hindu. So, you get Tehsin and Shehzad's community, the Aga Khanis, the Ismailis. They are completely integrated into Hindu society. So you look at Shehzad's mother and Tehsin's mother. They both used to go volunteer at, still do, volunteer at Hindu temples, usko saaf safai karna. Way before Swachh, whatever Andolan, they wo jaake mandir mein seva karte the. Theek hai? You look at, you know, several people that I know, who Muslims that I know in public life, who are Arya Samajis. They go for Arya Samaj Sangathan and things like that. But there is a very deliberate movement to mark all of them as heretic atheists and impose a certain Puritan form of Islam which doesn't even suit us. By itne garmi mein agar burqa pehnoge, see, Saudi Arabia has a very dry heat. Okay, men also wear something. If you look at the full Arab dress, it's almost a burqa, a men's dress. It's a burqa without the face covering in white. Why? Because you want to keep hot air and dust off of you. Okay. In India, you want to be as skimpy as possible because you're sweating a lot. And that is why you eat a lot of chilies as well, because you want to generate more sweat where the evaporation effect cools you down.
And
So
Indians are
those.
hairy.
And Indians, well, Arabs are also very hairy, but that's a different matter. You know, waxing is a technique invented by Arabs, apparently. Horrible sadistic practice, but I don't know why all women get it done. Anyway, jo bhi hai, lots of men also. Apparently, bodybuilders wax their chest and like, hi, Ram. मेरे को एक बार किसी ने सेलो टेप के साथ मेरा हाथ वैक्स किया था. Never again, never again. And once I saw somebody, my mom thread her eyebrow, and I said, try it on me. Never again. I don't know why women go through that nonsense. But anyway, but it is culturally just incompatible. It is climactically incompatible with India for you to be wearing those kind of clothes. Now, why is it that an Aga Khani has absolutely no problem reciting the Hanuman Chalisa? By the way, I'm not saying all Muslims should recite the Hanuman Chalisa. There is absolutely nothing to it. But you don't go around deliberately insulting other religions. Okay? You're not going to get any special treatment out here either. Nobody gets special treatment in Hindutva. Okay? It's just that you have a cultural continuum and you respect that cultural continuum. In that sense, it was what the European and American ideal were till about 15, 20 years back, before all this wokeism and things started, which is you can be from any culture. It is a very multicultural interpretation. You can be from any culture, but when you come here, you respect what is native to here. Absolute free speech, democracy, equal treatment to everyone. You can't beat up your wife. You can't female genital mutilation anyone. You can't do dowry. You can't do caste. You can't do all this crap. Today, all of it has been weaponized in America and Europe. So don't go where it is now. But the way it used to be is what it is here, that there is an ethos and culture to this place. Respect it and follow it. Stop having this feigned attachment to, I don't know, Kazakhstan or Arabia. I mean, I don't know why people think that they actually come from Arabia, when in fact there was no real Arab invasion of India proper. There was only Turkish invasions of India proper. Indian Muslims won't even have one micro milliliter of Arab blood in them. They would have maybe about 1 milliliter of Turkish blood in them at best. So Hindutva is a completely different thing. Don't get this confused. You never read an enemy's description of something. The self-description is mostly what you go by. Of course, our self-descriptions flattering, over-flattering, because everybody tends to interpret their own thing as, you know, their own values as very, very good. You should always balance it out, sure, with an enemy point of view. I don't begrudge that to anyone. But for your entire view to be made up of atrocity literature is ridiculous.
Yeah, so I also wanted to answer this question because, first of all, Hindutva means Hindus as first-class citizens means you have to define what is a Hindu, right? That is the primary question. And the Supreme Court has I defined Hindu as a negation. Go and check this famous Supreme Court judgment on what Hindutva and Hindus are. In they literally defined it as a negation that people, and how does the Indian law work? People who are not Muslim, Christian, Jew, and I think they added Parsi in that. Those four denominations of faith, they said, if you are these, because they are unique apparently, and they claim uniqueness, so you're not Hindu. Under Indian law, everybody else is Hindu. So पहले तो जाके थोड़ी गलती से पढ़ाई कर लिया करो. ज्यादा एफर्ट नहीं लगता, बस 4 दिन ही लगते हैं एक सुप्रीम कोर्ट जजमेंट को पढ़ने को. पढ़ो. दूसरी बात, अभिजीत इज 100% राइट दैट यू कैनॉट स्ट्रॉ मैन वॉट दी अदर साइड सेज. कैन यू शो एनी हिंदुत्व प्राइमरी सोर्स स्टार्टिंग फ्रॉम हेगडेवार, गोइंग टू गोलवालकर, गोइंग टू बाला साहेब देवरस एंड मेनी अदर, और टू मोहन भागवत टूडे, और टू सावरकर, वेर दे सेड मुस्लिम्स आर सेकेंड क्लास सिटीजन इन इंडिया. दे नेवर सेड दैट. नॉट इवन अ सिंगल हिंदुत्व थिंकर. और दीनदयाल उपाध्याय, हुज द ओनली गाय हु केम अप विद अ थियोरेटिकल फ्रेमवर्क इन एंटायर हिंदुत्व डिस्कोर्स, ओनली दीनदयाल उपाध्याय केम अप विद एकात्म मानववाद एज अ थियोरेटिकल फ्रेमवर्क ऑफ लुकिंग एट द वर्ल्ड. सो दिस एंटायर आर्ग्यूमेंट इटसेल्फ, ये कैसा है मालूम है, एक काड़ी लगाने वाला काम होता है ना, कि जाके उंगल करो, बिना बात का बेवकूफ के जैसे बात करो. अगर हिंदुत्व ऐसा है, आज की डेट में पंजाब में जब सिखों की कन्वर्जन होती है क्रिश्चियनिटी में, संघ जाके रिकन्वर्ट करता है. अगर संघ सिखों को सेकंड क्लास और हिंदुओं को फर्स्ट क्लास सिटीजन मांगता था, तो रिकन्वर्ट करने के टाइम पे जो सरदार से क्रिश्चियन बना उसको वापस सरदार क्यों बनाता है संघ? संघ को हिंदू बनाना चाहिए था ना. संघ बोलता था कि हम स्ट्रेटेजिकली उनको हिंदू बनाएंगे ताकि हमारे नंबर बढ़े. संघ कभी नहीं करता. संघ बोलता है जाओ वापस बन जाओ, सरदार बनो. तो ये सब, ये बातों में कोई दम ही नहीं होता है. दी दी देर इज नो लोकस एंड आई. फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल, इंडियन लॉ का डेफिनेशन ऑफ अ हिंदू इज डिफरेंट. इनफैक्ट दैट विच इज वाई वेन एवर वी टॉक अबाउट अ हिंदू राष्ट्र, हिंदू राज्य, वी हैव टू बी वेरी केयरफुल. एंड आई एग्री विद अभिजीत, हिंदुत्व इज जस्ट वॉट हिंदुत्व इज, दैट देर आर सर्टन बेस लाइन प्रिंसिपल ऑफ दिस कंट्री एंड दिस कल्चर दैट यू हैव टू एक्सेप्ट. एंड देर इज अ कोर क्लैश वेर द मोमेंट यू हैव हिस्ट्री सेंट्रिज्म, दैट्स वेन द प्रॉब्लम हैपेंस. द प्रॉब्लम इज नॉट हिंदू कोर प्रिंसिपल्स और हिंदुत्व कोर प्रिंसिपल्स. आई डोंट नो हाउ एल्स टू से इट, बट द प्रॉब्लम इज कोर प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ हार्ड लाइन मोनोथियज्म और मोनोपोलिस्टिक मोनोथियज्म. The problem is on their side. The problem is not on our side. Even in the Rigveda, whether it's Mandala 6, Mandala 3, Mandala 7, Mandala 10, every time different gods are discussed, they say, all gods ko ek kar lo, all gods ko ek kar lo. So what kind of a ridiculous argument is this? Ek to aap padhte nahi ho, dusre baad mein aap confidence se phekte ho. Are phekne ke pehle confidence to kam karo na fir apna. Anyways, ab mera next question hai, Abhijit, but isn't it the duty of a Hindutva person also to sometimes resist this idea of a Hindu theocracy? Because Hindutva never talks about a Hindu theocracy, because what will be a Hindu theocracy? Because usme khana kya decide karoge? Abhi Vaishnav bolega ki onion and garlic nahi khana, koi aur bolega abhi 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 you're half Bengali also, to Bengali culture mein Hindus eat meat. To ye Hindu state ka jo fetish ek certain section mein hai, jinko main Hindutva nahi bolta hu, jinko main Hindutva free riders bolta hu, jo saste Stalin hai, uska kya karna? वो भी तो पार्ट ऑफ हिंदू स्टेट है ना.
इंटरनेट हिंदूज बेसिकली, एंड सी
या
देयर
जिसको तू मुझा
प्रॉब्लम,
हिंदू बोलता है।
मुजा हिंदू. सी दिस इज एग्जैक्टली, नोटिस देयर बिहेवियर इज एग्जैक्टली दैट ऑफ दीज पाकिस्तानी मुजाहिद्स. ओके, पाकिस्तान, वाई इज इट गोइंग डाउन द ड्रेन? बिकॉज वुमेन आर वेयरिंग स्कर्ट्स एंड शोइंग देयर फेस. वाई इज पाकिस्तान डाउन द ड्रेन? बिकॉज काफिर्स लाइक अहमदियाज आर टॉलरेटेड अमंगस्ट अस. यू नो देयर इज दिस थिंग टुवर्ड्स प्योरिटी. नाउ दिस इज वेयर यू हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड दैट हिंदुत्व, देयर वर थ्री स्ट्रीम्स ऑफ पोलिटिकल हिंदुइज्म. ओके, द फर्स्ट वॉज सावरकर, हु वॉज ऑलमोस्ट प्रोग्रेसिव टू द पॉइंट ऑफ बींग अ लेफ्टिस्ट. ही वॉन्टेड एक्टिव इंटरवेंशन टू एंड कास्ट, टू यू नो फोर्सिबली इंटरमैरी, नॉट फोर्सिबली बट यू नो टू एनकरेज थ्रू गवर्नमेंट स्कीम्स एंड थिंग्स लाइक दैट, इंटर मैरिज एंड थिंग्स लाइक दैट. एंड दिस इज मे बी, आई मीन आई एम जस्ट राउंडिंग इट ऑफ, से अबाउट 10% ऑफ हिंदूज हुआ वेरी प्रोग्रेसिव. द सेकेंड 10% आर दी ट्रैड्स. नाउ द ट्रैड्स हैव ऑलवेज बिन एक्सट्रीमली रिग्रेसिव, एंड इन फैक्ट दे हैव ट्राई टू टेक कंट्रोल ऑफ हिंदुत्व सेवरल टाइम्स, एंड दे हैव बिन थ्रैश राउंडली एवरी सिंगल टाइम. दे कांट विन
कर्पात्री महाराज,
स्टार्टिंग फ्रॉम करपात्री महाराज. डू यू नो एल के आडवाणी रिफ्यूज टू शेयर अ टेबल विद करपात्री बिकॉज ही सेड दिस मैन इज अ कास्टिस्ट, आई विल नॉट सिट डाउन एंड ईट विद.
यू रिमेम्बर दादा स्टोरी वेर कर्पात्री महाराज रिफ्यूज टू बी टेकिंग फूड सर्व बाय एलके अडवाणी बिकॉज ही इज फ्रॉम अ लोअर कास्ट. रिमेम्बर दादा ने एक
या
स्टोरी बताई थी.
एंड बोथ वाजपेयी एंड आडवाणी रिफ्यूज टू सिट एनीवेयर नियर हिम और प्लेटफॉर्म में एनी फॉर्म. ओके, नाउ दीज रिग्रेसिव्स वेरी सरप्राइजिंगली दे कीप ट्राइंग, दे लूज वेरी बैडली ट्राइंग टू टेक कंट्रोल ऑफ द नैरेटिव ऑफ हिंदुत्व. बट नोटिस द पीपल हु सब्सिडाइज देम, प्रमोट देम द मोस्ट आर इन फैक्ट द कांग्रेस. Who is the one that instigated that entire 1962 or 66, 66 cow agitation under Karpatri Maharaj? It was the Congress. She promised him, "Ha ha, Gurudev, aap apna vote hamare ko dijiye, aur hum we will get you, we will ban cow slaughter." And then she went back on it, and so he turned on her. Okay, so these people are the Trojan horse. In fact, it is these trads who have traditionally, and understand why are trads traditionally linked with the Congress? Because they represent that feudal mindset that is controlled by few leaders, which is the same morass that Islam is in Sunni Islam is in India, where few leaders, because you're impoverished, you go to this leader for sifarish. Get my daughter admission in school. Get my son admission in the hospital. He's very sick. Things don't happen automatically. You go to these people, and they then use that to get themselves Lok Sabha seats, this seat, that seat, whatnot, whatever, proximity to power. So they actually suit the Congress's feudal political mindset that existed from the 40s through much of the 90s, in fact, which started breaking down of late. So it is a perfect unison. And in fact, the main thing, which is, I would say, 90%, the third stream of Hindutva, is what the RSS represents, which is they believe in the ideals of Savarkar, but they do not believe in a top-down approach. They believe in a bottoms-up approach where you create enough social consensus to move society together. Occasionally, they do believe in short, when they feel a situation is particularly bad, they do feel the state then needs to take a top-down approach, but mostly they believe in bottoms-up approach. You will see RSS में जो भी जुड़ता है, दे डू नॉट बिलीव इन कास्ट एट ऑल. इन फैक्ट इट इज कंप्लीट एनथीमा. यू टॉक कास्ट इन RSS, ट्राई एनी ब्राह्मिन सुप्रेमसी नॉनसेंस इन द RSS, यू विल गेट किक्ड आउट फास्टर देन वेल वॉट एवर, यूज वॉट एवर एनालॉजी यू वॉन्ट. इज इट एनी सरप्राइज देन? नाउ इज वॉज इट अ ब्राह्मिन लेड मूवमेंट? यस, सावरकर वॉज ऑल्सो अ ब्राह्मिन. But is there any rule that says a Brahmin cannot head a social reform movement? and it becomes tainted because it is led by a Brahmin. Atal Bihari Vajpayee, the first BJP Prime Minister, was a Brahmin. But the most powerful and longest serving BJP Prime Minister is Narendra Modi, who is the Teni OBC. Right? His second in command is Amit Shah, who is also not a Brahmin. Unless you are claiming that somehow Mohan Bhagwat ji is more powerful than Narendra Modi and running some kind of parallel government out of Nagpur, in which case you're a conspiracy theorist and this podcast isn't for you. Okay.
Yeah, so, or you're a Congressee and you believe everybody is Sonia Gandhi.
Everybody is Sonia Gandhi, exactly. So this is not the way things work out here. So, sorry, what was that question again? Just highlighted. Kya tha?
Which question?
जो तूने अभी पूछा दैट आई वाज आंसरिंग
नो वो तो सो नो सो द क्वेश्चन वाज वेरी सिंपल दैट आर अदर सिटीजंस गोइंग टू बी सेकंड क्लास सिटीजंस दैट वाज द क्वेश्चन
सो नाउ दैट बी नाउ दिस इज द बेसिस ऑफ इट इसमें सेकंड क्लास सिटीजन होने का रूम कहां है देयर इज नो इट इज नॉट असिमिलेशन यू अंडरस्टैंड It is integration without assimilation. Hindus do not believe in assimilation. We believe that assimilation is violent. Even if it is non-violent, it is still intellectually violent, which is why we have so many streams of thought. How is it against STs? There was a very specific question asked about STs. How is it against STs? We
no,
believe that tribals should be left where
question...
they are.
First of all, that separates, that question is so fucked up because that question separates Hindus and tribals. But tribals are Hindus.
It isn't a fucked up question. It's a genuine issue that a lot of people have because they haven't read. Right? So it's not a fucked up question. It's the kind of ignorance you see throughout, which unfortunately, and this is a lot of Hindutva's own fault, that nobody wants to sit down and explain this in clear terms. Or agar karte bhi hain, they don't, you know, we've gotten so attuned to a Western idiom. We need everything explained to us in a Western idiom.
Yeah, and listen, at the end of the day, you know, there is a section that will say, oh, RSS is not a uniform voice of every Hindu. RSS never claimed to be. But here's my answer to that analogy. Best of luck trying to beat the RSS. Was Gandhi the voice of every Indian? No. But eventually Gandhi won the battle of ideas. Nobody stopped Gandhi. Or matlab Gandhi never said ki tum nahi aa sakte. People tried and it was a battle of ideas in terms of a popularity contest. In terms of the RSS and their hold on the Hindu society, hold is in quotes here, that they never impose anything. The people go to them. Now, if you don't like how they do things and you want a caste-based society, you convince the people in this society and you change the society. Best of luck is all I can say. That is the thing. But still, what about the question of minority rights is a genuine question. Abhi, aaj minority rights ki line kahan drop hoti hai?
So here's the thing. A lot of the minority rights being eroded nonsense comes about because of public statements of trans and not because of the pronouncements of the government, the RSS or the BJP high command. Okay, we need to be very, very clear about this. For example, let me give you a statement that Cardinal Ratzinger, who then became Pope Benedict, whatever, he's now what, Pope Emeritus, or has he died? I don't know. Said, where he described Hinduism and Buddhism as autoerotic Eastern Orientalism.
It's just words.
Exact words. Autoerotic Eastern Orientalism. Now, would you say all Christians believe that? It is definitionally what every Catholic clergy has to believe. Because that is the Pope saying it. When he was the head of the Inquisition. Technically, the Inquisition still exists under a different name, but he was the chief theologian. He said it at a time when he wasn't Pope. He was still Cardinal Ratzinger under John Paul when he said it. Wrote it, in fact. Okay. But does that mean Christian countries believe it? No. But the clergy has to believe it. Now, if some low-level fellow in the church says that, it doesn't matter. You show me who in any position of power in the RSS or BJP has said this nonsense, that people are going to be disenfranchised, they don't have rights, etc., etc. Second, what exact rights are we talking about? I want the audience to throw up very specific things where you feel, if you are a minority or if you're not a minority, where you feel the minority has been discriminated against in a Hindutva discourse or in the actions of the current government.
I mean, I had shared statistics on my monologue where I showed that in terms of electrification or availability of basic government services through government policy programs, the state does not discriminate. The only discrimination from a constitutional perspective that happens in India, nobody can deny it, is actually actively happening against the Hindus, not against the minorities in this state in its current form. So the only thing that a Hindu state or a person who uses the word a Hindu state uses is they want to correct those anomalies where Hindus are discriminated against. They don't care about anything. Secondly, now let us talk about minority rights from the perspective of a uniform civil code. Now, the uniform civil code, because look, it all boils down to that, Abhijit. When we talk about the state of minorities in India, the biggest sore spot is the uniform civil code. Now, one state has enacted a uniform civil code, which we covered in detail, Nikhil and I. By the way, it is the most hilariously drafted law ever. Well, 90% of it is sensible, but that live-in relationship bit, I mean, मैं जब जब निखिल पढ़ रहा था और मैं सुन रहा था, हम लोग हंसना शुरू हो गए पॉडकास्ट पे. इट वॉज सो हॉरेबल. बट हैविंग सेड दैट, नाउ द फर्स्ट क्वेश्चन पीपल विल रेज इज, बट यू वॉन्ट अ यूनिफॉर्म सिविल कोड एंड दैट इज इम्पोजिशन ऑफ हिंदू राइट्स ऑन यू. हाउ द हेल इज दैट?
वेल, इट इजंट. What is particularly Hindu about having one wife? What is particularly Hindu about equal distribution of wealth to everyone? In fact, I would say it's a Christian civil code being imposed on Hindus. Because most of these things are before 1952 and the Hindu Marriage Act, at least Muslims had a restriction on the number of wives they could have. You can only have two wives simultaneously and then four more concubines or something like that. I don't know what. Hindu pe to koi restriction nahi tha. You could marry, two men could marry, two women could marry, a man could have 1,000 wives, a woman could have 1,000 husbands, four husbands could have 7 wives altogether, polyamorous. There was no explicit law banning all of it. In fact, the Uniform Civil Code is a Christian view, norm, which has evolved very specifically for a certain reason because of the kind of economic security it provides the family unit and surety of inheritance, which was always a problem in the Muslim world and the Hindu world, where you never knew which wife was going to get how much, what property share and division. Guardianship of the man, and it is a post-industrial law because women now have agency in the post in the industrial world and the post-industrial world. Okay. Now, Muslim law, I want you to look at it. Technically, what is Muslim law? You tell me this, because in the Caliph, the Ottoman Sultan's own thing, the moment he was proclaimed the Khalifa, all his brothers were strangled one by one to prevent succession. Which is apparently perfectly legal under Turkish law. And they were the caliphs, so they got to interpret what Muslim law is. In the Mughal Empire, because you did not have the strangulation law, even though they are Turks, you had this whole thing where the brothers would fight each other and kill each other ultimately. All of them. There was not a single Mughal succession that did not happen without a civil war. So do you want brothers to then fight and kill each other for that inheritance then? Kya hai? Batao. Who is imposing what? What is Hindu about this uniform civil code? There's absolutely nothing. It is a modern industrial code imported from an industrial world which is overwhelmingly Christian. Why? Because women are today capable of having their own agency, so they inherit equally, equal share. There is no guardianship of the man that is no longer required in a modern thing. So when you say a Muslim has to follow his own law, what is it? In an industrial age, you're telling me that a woman can't be given her own agency. Are you serious?
Well, they are. But
They
it's
are.
not just Muslims. It's not just Muslims. There is resistance from Christians.
Look, Kushan, Kushan, we need to be clear. They are money. Kyun? Because talaq, 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 the verdict was spearheaded by Muslim women. They didn't want it.
या भारतीय मुस्लिम महिला मंच.
ठीक है. The Christians also oppose it because it ends the tyranny of the church. I don't think people realize how much the church plays a role in fiddling, fudging, and it's a big industry, at least as far as I know, in Tamil Nadu, where the Catholic Church will actually actively go around fudging who should get inheritance, who should not. Who is a Christian, who is not, who can be buried in a Christian burial ground and who cannot. So, for example, if you refuse to raise your kids as Christians, you do not, you may be a Christian, but if you refuse to raise your kids as Christians, a friend of mine was denied burial. She died early of a heart attack, classmate. She was denied burial in the Catholic ground. You can't have religious tyranny like that. Has she been a Christian? Yes. Does she get to get buried out there? Yes. You can't determine, you can't make up your mind for the children of that woman. So you see, there's all kinds of religious humbuggery that happens in this country that needs to be crushed. And by the way, Hindus may be the number of Hindus I know with two, three wives, several chief ministers included, very dharmic chief ministers, by the way, is incredible. उसको भी कोई टैकल नहीं करता है बिकॉज दैट इज अ सेपरेट डिस्कशन टू हैव दैट अनएनफोर्सिबिलिटी ऑफ द लॉ यू नो द स्टेट मोनोपोली ऑन वायलेंस एंड स्टेट एनफोर्समेंट इज नेक्स्ट टू जीरो दैट्स अ डिफरेंट मैटर बट ऑल ऑफ दीज थिंग्स हैव टू बी ओवरकम सो व्हाट एग्जैक्टली इज इट अबाउट द यूनिफॉर्म सिविल कोड दैट पिसेस ऑफ पीपल सो मच
Because it is uniform, because it is modern, because it is progressive, because it is better, and because conservative religious nut jobs, whether Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Christian, anyone, don't like women to be empowered. It's as simple as that.
Now for a long time, I also oppose the Uniform Civil Code, incidentally, because there are unique inheritance practices here and there. But then the moment somebody started applying first principles, I'm not going to tell you who because they don't want to be named to it, I realized I didn't have a case. My thing was very simple. Why in India before, say, the 19th, 20th century, really? From where my mom's side is Palakkad, it was the women who inherited. Okay. My great, 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 great grandmother on the Kerala side of the family. Now, this was a Nair practice. So I don't know how the Nair practice got into the Brahmin, whatever. But she had some 27 husbands and she used to seize their money and kick them out of the house later. Okay. Now, the Khasi or the Garos, I forget, up in the hills in Nagaland, the youngest girl is the head of the house and she takes all the decisions. Now, it is always said, now feminists go gaga over this. See, we need feminism. And this, and you know, Kerala then voted to end matrilineality and matriarchy. They had a referendum in 19. This is the Kerala model, by the way. That they did not want women running things and it became a patriarchal. It officially went from matriarchal to patriarchal in 71, 72, I forget when. They had a referendum on this and decided to end a matriarchy. So it dilutes the different cultural inheritance systems. Okay. But tell me something, and this is, where Voice of Men and Arnaz Hathiram come in. I want you to all to follow that handle. She keeps advocating for gender-neutral laws because she shows how women viciously abuse all these gynocentric laws. Because any law that can be abused will be abused. Why do you want it to be matriarchal or patriarchal? You choose the naming system yourself. The UCC doesn't say you have to take your father's name. All it says is your name has to be registered, it has to come under this, and irrespective of the name you choose, you have this much inheritance in family property, or this much inheritance if it is father's own earned property, etc., etc., etc. You can't discriminate between man and woman, but if it is the father's own earned property, then he has every right to disinherit you. If it is inherited family property, he has no right to disinherit you. It's a very straightforward, simple thing. Now, what happens is the regressives in Hinduism also oppose the UCC. Why are we mentioning the Christian church and this and that? They oppose the UCC because it disrupts their whole scheme of things, which they claim is group rights, which is ridiculous. You can't have group rights in a state like this.
The
This is not a
problem with
tribal group. Group rights, understand, group rights is a very tribal construct. It actually encourages segregation. It is a fundamental antithesis to Hindutva because group rights is what is in practice what you call ghettoization.
बस आई कांट नेम बट अ ट्रैड मैं तेरे को प्राइवेटली बताऊंगा वो नाम अभी मैं टाइप करके तुझे बता देता हूँ हैज टोल्ड मी दैट इंडिया शुड हैव मल्टीपल सिविल लॉज दैट टू ऑफ एवरी जाति एवरी जात शुड हैव अ सिविल लॉ
See, this is what I mean. So, first principle इसमें क्या है? You have to have gender neutral laws across the board, and all courts need to be, you can't have judges. Look at the burden on the system itself. One country में, how can you have 1,000 different laws for 1,000 different communities?
Well,
Your rights as an Indian citizen, it violates your fundamental rights as an Indian citizen to equality before the law. You are condemned to non-equality in front of the law just by virtue of being born into one community that chooses to be outside the law. How does that work?
ask the people who want it, man. I
Yeah.
just find it out of this world. But okay, another question that from a minority perspective that is often raised is that eventually minorities and their food habits, minorities and their way of dressing, minorities and their basic lifestyles, they might even say, we like to pray on the road. In a Hindu state, we will not be allowed to pray on the road. Listen,
No.
I am saying things that will be said. So
But pray on the
that's
road is not a right.
well. For some, it is apparently.
But it is not in any country in the world.
They say we cannot put the loudspeaker in the night. A Hindu state will do this, is already doing this to us.
Which, well, technically you should not. Technically, in any civilized country, there should be nothing loud before 7 a.m. and after 9 p.m., 10 p.m. or something like that. Okay. Second, if you want to be a true Salafist, you shouldn't use loudspeakers also, no? There were no loudspeakers in the Prophet's time.
Oh,
Train
absolutely.
your muezzins to go up a minaret. Nobody's stopping you from a muezzin going up a minaret and screaming at 3 a.m. The issue is with a loudspeaker. Now, if you show me a hadith or a Quranic injunction which says that loudspeaker is an essential part of the religion, I will defend your right to use a loudspeaker at 3 a.m. Show me which hadith says it. Show me which paragraph of the Quran says it. Anand ko bula, he's memorized the Quran. No, he'd give us the exact paragraph that talks about the loudspeaker.
No, at the time of the prophet, there was no knob speaker, so there can't be. Maybe
Which
फतवा आ सकता है बाद में.
now, why was it first? Also, understand why it was done. Why did you go up a minaret and why did the muezzin scream out the prayer? Because in those days, you did not have the means of propagation, which today you have in terms of a phone. You have an app which will wake you up at the exact time you want to pray, pray. Anything you can do to reduce public disruption, you should. See, you have every right to hear your prayer at 3 a.m. Today, does technology allow you to hear your prayer at 3 a.m. without waking everybody else up? Yes, it does. What did you do without the loudspeaker for the last 300 years of the 1400 years of history? तब तो loudspeaker नहीं था, तो क्या कर रहे थे बेटा? When did loudspeaker become so essential to the Muslim religion? I have never understood this. By the way, I hold the same room for Jagratas through the night. भाई लोगों का एग्जाम है, ये है वो है, पढ़ रहे हैं, और तुम रात भर ढांग 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 किए जा रहे हो. द रूल्स हैव टू बी अप्लाइड इक्वली टू एवरीबॉडी.
एब्सोल्युटली
10 बजे के बाद जागृता करो, जगे रहो, ईयरफोन्स लगा के सुनो जो सुनना है, पूरे लाउडस्पीकर लगा के सबका ये क्या करना है, ठीक है. एट द सेम टाइम बिटवीन 7 AM एंड 10 PM यू डू हैव अ राइट टू मेक अ डिन, बट ऑल लाउड स्पीकर्स नीड टू बी गिवन पुलिस परमिशन एंड थिंग्स लाइक दैट, बिकॉज यू कांट जस्ट बी मेकिंग अ डिन ऐसे वैसे, ठीक है. सो देर आर दिस इज अ वेरी इजी सेट ऑफ फर्स्ट प्रिंसिपल्स टू बी अप्लाइड. सो देर इज नो डिस्क्रिमिनेशन अगेंस्ट एनी वन, एंड यू नो वेन यू स्टार्ट क्वेश्चनिंग अबाउट देम अबाउट वॉट द बेसिक्स ऑफ देयर ओन रिलीजन इज, देन दे स्टार्ट गेटिंग वेरी अपसेट. Because none of these things, why is the Muslim clergy and why is the Christian clergy so upset with UCC like Hindutvavadi crooks are? They're not Hindutvavadi crooks, they're actually the trad crooks who claim to be Hindutvavadi. Because ye dhanda hai, isme paisa milta hai, it is one of the most corrupt things around. They lose a vital source of income because it is a rent-seeking profession that they're in. It's very common, by the way. It's not just in this country. ठीक है, the other countries have completely removed this dalla thing that men of the cloth use. They have removed them as the dallas. Here, dallas want to be dallas.
Now, one last question before we take the audience questions is, what is a minority should also be debated. It is never debated. In a country like India, states have a lot of powers. There are things, even inside our constitution, there are, state subjects. There is a concurrent list with where there is overlap between the state and the center, and therein there is a central list. Now, in a situation like this, how do we define a minority? For example, if we are looking at the minority majority matrix, are Hindus not a minority in the state of Punjab? They are, right? Then Hindus in Kashmir, are they not a minority? Hindus in many northeastern states, aren't they a minority? Now, what
So,
about their rights there then?
okay. So this is again where you need to break it down. See, there's actually a very easy. I don't believe in the negation definition of Hinduism. Okay, the negation definition of Hinduism is very, very problematic. I believe the Hindu definition, the Indian definition of a Hindu, is what it's genius actually. It's in the Turkish Constitution. Is what is the definition of a Turk? Now remember, the Turks were faced with this problem when Mustafa Kemal Atatürk created the modern Turkish state, which is why we don't look like our ancestors in the steppes like this who came down on horses and started slaughtering people. We don't ride horses anymore. We're all bloody Greeks. Technically, we're just Muslim Greeks who have Central Asian names, pretending to be Central Asians. So what do we? How do we even identify ourselves as Turks? And it's an interesting problem because the problem set was very similar to the Hindu problem set. How do you define a Hindu? It's very simple, self-identification. A Turk is anyone who identifies as a Turk. A Hindu is anyone who identifies as a Hindu. Full stop. You can be an atheist and not identify as a Hindu. Congratulations to you, you're not a Hindu. You can be an atheist who identifies as a Hindu. Congratulations to you, you're a Hindu. You can be a Vaishnavite, and you know there is actually a religion called Ayyavari, which claims they are no longer Hindu in Tamil Nadu. Congratulations to you, you're not a Hindu. You want to identify as a Hindu, congratulations to you. But this is where the definition of a minority becomes equally important. Because everybody then wants to stop identifying as a Hindu to get minority benefits. Why should any minority be given a benefit that is not equality in front of the law? That is a fundamental violation of fundamental rights. There is no minority fundamental right to any extra protection in the law. All rules need to be the same. Christians can have Christian institutions. Hindus can have Hindu institutions. But if you identify as a Hindu institution or a Christian institution or a Sikh institution or whatever, you cannot apply for central funding or any kind of government funding. It has to be run through community funds alone. Okay, it's very simple. The problem in India is we never look at foreign jurisprudence and foreign constitutional debates, which is why our definitions of certain things are also very limited to things. I think that definition of Hinduism is one of the stupidest definitions I've ever heard. It's a very dangerous definition of Hinduism.
No, it's kind of
Hinduism
close
to
to what you say now.
close to what I say, which is.
That people who self-identify, because the problem is monotheism doesn't self-identify as Hindus, so ones who don't are Hindu. That's what they
So
did in
he,
India.
so here's the thing, it isn't. The language here is important. We consider Jains as Hindus, correct? Jains themselves consider themselves as the best of Hindus. Most Jains I know consider me a second-rate Hindu. Sale unka naam hoga Animesh Jain or Sita Lakshmi Jain. And they'll be like, tu Hindu hai? Tu kai ka Hindu hai? Tu third rate Hindu, tu second rate bhi nahi hai, tu third rate Hindu hai. Imagine a Jain giving me a lecture on that. But we happily accept that. Hindus are happily allowed into Jain temples. Is there a single Hindu temple that will prevent a Jain from coming into a Hindu temple? You see, Sabarimala, Jagannath Puri, and all these places, they have very strict rules. Non-Hindus not allowed. Why is that never applied to a Sikh or a Jain or a Buddhist? It is never applied to them. They are considered part of the Hindu fold. If you self-identify as it, congratulations to you. If you don't want to identify as it, congratulations to you. But any special minority privileges you get, and what do they get in India? It is mostly education. Okay, that they can create an educational institution without government permission. If it is not granted within XYZ number of days, it is deemed granted. Why is that privilege only given to minorities? Why can't anybody start up an education institution? Because the rule for starting up an education institution should be the quality of the thing and regulatory compliance. Because, see, that system itself was set to extort rent by the bureaucracy. It is actually one of the last vestiges of bureaucratic corruption still left, which needs to go. So it may be a similar idea, but similar is not the same. Similar is not the same.
So now let us take the questions. It needs to reach a place of self-actualization, Maslow's pyramid, where minorities understand that there is a majority that is non-violent. The duty dharma falls on the minority to maintain status quo. Your view.
No, no, no. There is no special duty of a minority or duty of a majority. It is everybody's duty in a democratic polity to be peaceful. It is the duty of everybody to have absolutely equal rights, no special privileges and no special prerogatives to everyone. At the same time, as society changes, okay, as societal mores and things like that change, it is important that certain things no longer be allowed. We no longer allow sati. You no longer allow triple talaq. You do not allow female genital mutilation. You no longer allow child marriage. These are things that are not trampling on. Child marriage is not a right. There is no parent has a right to mutilate the genitals of their child. No family has the right to force their mother to sit on the funeral pyre of her husband. Which 90% of that, by the way, is atrocity literature. Read Meenakshi Jain's book on that for further details. It's the most successful case of atrocity literature in living history. So these are not rights. There is no. See, the majority also needs to understand that its point of view isn't the only point of view. But we're not saying that its point of view is the only point of view. We're saying there are 100 different points of view. One though. The issue is you can't impose your lifestyle. The majority can't impose its lifestyle on the minority. And at the same time, the minority can't keep asking for special privileges over and above what is the common accepted mean. And it is precisely in that equality of everything that the UCC brings and what minority rights is, that it prevents the tyranny of the majority and it also prevents the excesses of the minority. There are a lot of other things that go into it. You know, this is the ideal situation. But, you know, optimally, a state monopoly on violence and unfailing implementation of law, judicial reforms. The judiciary is a joke in this country today because you can get completely different verdicts from completely different courts. And in fact, verdict farming is a thing that people do in this country. They try to approach different benches for different verdicts, knowing that one judge has this kind of view, that judge has that kind of view. All of this is a part of progression which you have to have.
ओके अरे किसी ने पूछा प्लीज एक्सप्लेन बिट डिफरेंस बिटवीन राष्ट्र एंड राजा. आई हैव डन अ होल फ्रिकिंग मोनोलॉग ऑन इट. वो जाके देख लेना इसका इसका आंसर का. ओके समबडी इज अ लेफ्टिस्ट हु अपोज्ड हिंदू राष्ट्र कॉलिंग इट डेंजरस आर द सेम हु गिवन एग्जांपल ऑफ मिलियंस ऑफ हिंदूज लिविंग पीसफुली इन द गल्फ. व्हाट डज दैट.
या दैट्स ट्रू. यही लोग दे कीप टॉकिंग अबाउट हाउ लवली द हिंदू माइनॉरिटीज आर इन सऊदी अरेबिया एंड बहरेन एंड कतार एंड द यूएई विच आर ऑल अवावडली वहाबी स्टेट्स. इट्स अ कॉमेंट. इट्स नॉट अ दिस थिंग.
इफ इंडियंस यूनानिमसली रिजेक्ट देयर सिविलाइजेशनल आइडेंटिटी वुडंट गवर्नमेंट एफर्ट्स टू प्रिजर्व हिंदू हेरिटेज बी काउंटर टू देयर इंटरेस्ट. हाउ कुड इंडियंस ऑप्ट आउट इफ दे वॉन्ट टू. इट्स अ गुड क्वेश्चन.
दैट्स अ वेरी गुड क्वेश्चन. वेल इफ द मजोरिटी ऑफ हिंदूज वॉन्ट टू एंड हिंदुइज्म वॉट डू यू डू. आई ऑनेस्टली डोंट नो द आंसर टू दैट. Can you shove, can you shoves an idea down people's throats? You can't. You physically cannot. See, you can't build perpetuity to anything. There is no perpetuity to anything in life. You can only deal with what is. You can't, you know, game and legislate for what is going to happen 100, 200, 300 years hence. Now, if Indians unanimously reject? That is the part of the question I've answered. Efforts to preserve Hindu heritage? No, because what a Hindu Rashtra implies is that the government takes a special foreign policy interest. It is assumed for all Indian citizens, irrespective of religion. In addition to that, where it is not concerning Indian citizens of all the dharmic faiths, because they don't have a single protector country. And that is a very crucial part of Hindutva, which is accepting where all Hindus exist, Jains, Buddhists, Sikhs, whatever, and protecting their rights. But incidentally, it also involves protecting the rights of Indian Christians in Fiji. It is also an ethnic definition. It also involves protecting the rights of, well, it would have involved protecting the rights of lots of Guju Muslims who lived in Uganda. Okay, so there is an ethnic aspect to it, a racial aspect to it, I guess, if you want to call it that, and a special responsibility on the government to protect, to advocate and protect dharmic issues across the world. And that is a foreign policy aspect.
Yeah, okay, next question. Is it right for India to advocate for Hindus everywhere, even when they, when Indians, they're not Indian citizens, because it will invite others to interfere in our internal affairs, claiming persecution of minorities? Shouldn't we just give refuge? Again, a good question, a very good question. They heard what you were saying, and they're like, अगर आप बोलोगे कि हर जगह के इसमें हो गए तो फिर लोग आपके इसमें इंटरफेयर करेंगे, मगर मेरा आंसर उसको ये होगा, वी आर नॉट डूइंग दैट राइट नाउ, बट दे स्टिल इंटरफेयर इन आवर इंटरनल अफेयर्स, सो हाउ डज इट मेक अ डिफरेंस?
Exactly. See, there is no restriction on this, boss. This is not a reciprocal thing. We will not interfere in your internal affairs. You will not. They already do it very loudly and vociferously. Do you remember that time when Sarkozy talked down to Manmohan Singh when there was alleged atrocities on Christians somewhere at that point of time? He talked about the genocide and massacre of Christians with Manmohan Singh standing right next to him. It was in Nice or Marseille or something like that. If you don't want them to interfere, then say for every statement you make, we'll kick out a diplomat. And we also won't interfere in yours.
All right. How
But as a rule, you can't prevent another country. See, it's their right to freedom of speech as well. They have a right to opine on what happens in India, just like Kushal and I have a right to opine on what happens in the American elections. I'm saying we allow them to do it, we don't do it. That is why I said it. There is a foreign policy aspect to it. It is not a domestic policy aspect. It is a foreign policy aspect. You need to do it because others do it.
Okay. How can we ensure both security of the nation and fair treatment of minorities? Is there a risk that protecting minority rights weakens national security? How?
How? So, Vivek, this is a very generic question, right? You have to break it down very specifically in what this thing, because I don't know how fair treatment of minorities actually fosters greater national security, because it fosters national cohesion. When all your citizens are happy and feel that they are being treated fairly, it makes your nation more secure. So you have to give me something very specific. You can't make something, I mean, I don't even know where this is going. So give me a specific instance, Vivek, where fair treatment of minorities has weakened the security, in your view, has weakened the security of the nation. Give me specifics of both the fair treatment and the way it weakened the nation. Okay?
Yeah, and I'm only going to take super chat questions that are about the subject of the day. कोई रैंडम सुपर चैट होगा मैं लेने नहीं वाला हूँ. जस्ट या हिंदुत्व विल ब्रिंग यूनिफॉर्म राइट्स टू एवरीवन, विच मींस माइनॉरिटीज विल लूज देयर प्रिविलेजेस. दैट्स व्हाई we should not have uniform rights.
No. No, the minority clergy will lose their privileges. Yes. They have been, and no state can accept an extra state authority advocating civil matters ever. This can happen in pre-industrial uncivilized countries. No civilized industrial state will allow anything to dilute the state's prerogatives and privileges, period. Okay, it is the minority clergy that lose their dallagiri rights, which they should not have anyway.
How do we draw the line till the state can interfere in the religious community and family, and what should be beyond the reach of the government? This is a core issue of minority
It
rights
is.
in the Hindu state.
Very good question. Now, the first principle of this is the harm principle. You can interfere as long as there is harm caused to a community. So, for example, triple talaq, there is harm caused to one or more of the wives, or one wife, polygamy and triple talaq. Female genital mutilation is the harm caused to the girl child. Sati is the harm caused to the widow. Inheritance is the harm caused to younger siblings or female siblings. It is entirely based on the harm principle. It's that simple.
Won't these issues get better as we as the per capita GDP and the amount of money we can spend on education improve? So these straw men things that minority rights, ye rights, wo rights, basically.
और भाई जब जब मोदी स्पेंड करता है मुसलमान एजुकेशन पे सब उसको मौलाना मोदी बुलाते हैं, ये कहां की बात है? सो दिस इज ऑलवेज बिन द आरएसएस व्यू दैट इट कैन बी शव्ड डाउन द मुस्लिम थ्रोट. यू हैव टू एजुकेट मुस्लिम सो दैट दे कम आउट ऑफ द मोरास देयर इन द स्ट्रैंगल होल्ड दैट मौलवीज एंड मौलानाज हैव ऑन द सुन्नी कम्युनिटी हैज टू बी ब्रोकन. सो यू लुक एट शियाज इन दिस कंट्री, देयर वेरी ओपन प्रोग्रेसिव इन थिंग्स. देर आर सम इश्यूज आउट देयर, फॉर एग्जाम्पल द सैयदनाज कंट्रोल ऑफ फाइनेंसिस, बट सी दैट इज कम्युनिटी फंड्स कंट्रोल एंड कम्युनिटी सोशल कंट्रोल विच यू कांट टेक्निकली इंटरफियर इन बिकॉज नो बडी इज प्रिवेंटिंग अ बोरा हु डिसएग्रीज विद हिज सैयदना फ्रॉम लिविंग हिज ओन लाइफ. ओके, सो दैट इज अ इश्यू यूनिक आउट देयर. देर इज द इश्यू ऑफ फीमेल जेनिटल म्यूटिलेशन विच डज नॉट कम इंसिडेंटली अंडर यूसीसी बट इट डज कम अंडर द हार्म प्रिंसिपल. इट इज इलीगल इन दिस कंट्री एंड इट शुड बी पनिश्ड वेरी सिवियरली. यू कैनॉट मेक अ केस दैट इट इज कल्चरल. अंडरस्टैंड द सेम पीपल हु एडवोकेट फॉर ग्रुप राइट्स विल ऑल्सो एडवोकेट फॉर द राइट ऑफ द बोरा टू प्रैक्टिस फीमेल जेनिटल म्यूटिलेशन विच कैन समटाइम्स बी एज सिंपल एज अ स्लाइट कट टू द वल्वा बट समटाइम्स इट कैन बी कंप्लीट फेरोनिक म्यूटिलेशन विद द क्लिटरिस एंड द एंटायर वल्वा आर रिमूव्ड. ठीक है, सो इट 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 इज एजुकेशन इज की. बट इफ मोदी स्पेंड्स मोर ऑन मुस्लिम एजुकेशन देन यू से भाई मौलाना मोदी. यू कांट हैव इट बोथ वेज ना.
In fact, do you think Section 295A should be abolished in a Hindu state?
What is Section 295A again?
Abhay, blasphemy law.
Yes,
Right?
absolutely. See, you need to have sacrilege laws, but not blasphemy law. Understand what that is. Also, this, hurting sentiments. Hurting sentiments is the classic colonial law because it places the onus of law and order on the individual to not open his mouth instead of the state, which has a responsibility to spend enough on security that riots do not happen. Number one. Number two, you have every right to blaspheme. Words are words. All words are legal, except where you tell somebody to go kill somebody. sacrilege, which is the act of a physical desecration of a place, comes into property rights. There you cannot. ठीक है? And this is why, even under property rights, it becomes a question. If I get very upset with my mother and I smash all her ivories, they're all legal ivories, by the way, registered. Can she call the police on me? Yes, because technically it's her property. It hasn't come to me yet. If a temple trustee goes and performs sacrilege within the temple, can he be arrested? Yes, he can, because it is community property which he had no right to destroy. He may have been the trustee or traditional owner, but he still doesn't get the right to destroy it because it's community property. So there is a difference between sacrilege and there is a difference between blasphemy. Now, blasphemy is unacceptable. Criminalizing blasphemy is unacceptable in a modern state. In a pre-industrial state and a pre-industrial mind, a particularly regressive backward mind, blasphemy is very objectionable. Why? Because it upsets what rudimentary societal controls you have. That is why blasphemy was illegal once upon a time. In Hinduism, it's highly mixed. 90% of the time, I would say we didn't have blasphemy. Here and there, we have had some, well, you can't really call it blasphemy, but I guess there are some things about blasphemy here and there.
Is it necessary to define or look at everything?
Basically, this is what it comes down to. If you support blasphemy laws, there is no room for you in the modern world. You go back, live in the 19th century, create an Amish community. What is that Manoj Knight Shyamalan movie of these people living in a compound who still live a 17th century life? You go do that. You are not required to be part of society. A civilized society does not tolerate illegalizing blasphemy.
Okay, but is it necessary to look at everything from a Western perspective? Are we that incapable that we can't even define our own worldviews?
Yeah, we can't, because we are an industrializing country. We don't know the end result. The West already industrialized. So they knew what the end result was.
Okay.
Right. I did not say Western. I said industrial. There's a difference. Japan is also an industrial country. As a start.
So no privileges for anyone, but if minorities are to be recognized, why not state-wise, like Kashmiri Pandits in J&K or Tamilian Jains in Tamil Nadu based on numbers?
Why should you even recognize a minority, boss?
Agar
special privilege nahi de rahe ho, to kya minority, kya majority? Be like the French state. They refuse to do statistics on minority, majority and things like that. You are not allowed to enumerate ethnic numbers and religious numbers.
Okay. Wouldn't minority rights imply a majoritarianism? How? I don't know. I mean, this is...
I think I get where this question's coming from. He's kind of... Yeah, I know where you're coming from, Paritosh. Yeah, but minority rights... Yeah, he's right in a sense. Because a minority right is premised on the fact that there is majoritarianism and therefore a minority needs protection. I know what you mean, but implied, like you say. Yeah, correct. You use the right word. Very precisely worded. Yes, implied. Yeah.
What's the status of reconversion in Hindu Rashtra?
Reconversion, conversion is entirely up to the individual, boss. You have a right to propagate your religion.
Imagine if it was up to the trads, they toh had a problem with people coming back into the fold of Hinduism also. No? That was one of the seven shackles that Savarkar even talks about. So, I mean,
They
ऐसा तो
didn't
भाई
want
है
people
तो
to
फिर
become Hindus again. But see, this is where religion stops needing to be a tool of social control and societal segregation and really needs to become a marketplace of ideas. Okay. I have been the target of several attempts to convert me to Christianity. There were Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way. I hate Jehovah's Witnesses, so I took them for a jolly ride for a whole year. I got all their very high quality literature and shit like that. It was fantastic publications. All crap, but fantastic. उनके हजारों रुपए मैंने बर्बाद किए, pretending, oh, I believe, yes. So for a whole year, they used to take an auto from like 15, 20 kilometers away in Madras and come and try to convert me till they probably got smart to my scheme and realized I couldn't get converted. ठीक है? But tell me, what is your issue? If somebody like what Shankaracharya did to Madana Mishra, they come, they have a genuine argument of ideas, and Madana Mishra agrees that, rather, Madana Mishra's wife agrees that Shankaracharya has won the argument. Are you closed to the propagation of an idea? You shouldn't be. That's a very dangerous path to go down. It also means that your faith is weak, in which case you don't have faith to begin with. The problem in India right now is a problem of income, where certain institutions supported by foreign funding offer you conversion in return precisely for access to minority rights and access to certain social welfare schemes which that institution runs. That is something you should not allow, but that is also something you can't ban. Very simple. Think of it this way. If you ban the Christian church from doing it, why shouldn't you ban anybody else from doing reconversion then? Conversion is open to reconversion as well, which I'm totally fine with. It is the abuse of it which happens right now, what is called a rice bag convert or whatever, which is actually true, by the way. It's not rice, but it's college and things like that. College and health and things like that, at least in Tamil Nadu, where I'm familiar with the problem. I've seen it up front. Where progress, industrial development, and growth is your way out of that, where you are no longer dependent. Because understand, it's a kind of feudalism where you are depending again. Understand what the theme of this has been from the get-go when we started off at 8 p.m. There is a feudalism where these people, padres or whatever, disburse social benefits in return for something. You cannot allow any institution to be the disburser of specific social benefits. So, in a situation where Hindus are also allowed to open schools and things like that and have as many schools and colleges as they want, would you actually want to go to a Christian college or St. Stephen's? Why do people want to go to St. Stephen's? Because there's a whole aura built around it. I can tell you it has the dirtiest hostel rooms and the dirtiest toilets around. बस नाम का है एंड शमूजिंग अपॉर्चुनिटी है. हिंदू कॉलेज इंसिडेंटली जस्ट एज बैड, बाय द वे, इट्स नॉट मच बेटर. शैम से पूछो, शैम वुड हैव बीन इनटू सेंट स्टीफन्स हॉस्टल्स एज वेल. वो तो हिंदू कॉलेज प्रोडक्ट है ना. सो इफ यू हैव इनफ कॉलेजेस, दिस इज ऑल कमिंग अबाउट बिकॉज नोबडी वांट्स टू टॉक अबाउट एजुकेशनल रिफॉर्म्स इन दिस कंट्री एंड द अक्यूट आर्टिफिशियल शॉर्टेज ऑफ एजुकेशनल इंस्टीट्यूशंस दैट वी हैव. And if you actually apply regulatory rules evenly on everybody, 50% of St. Stephen's College would be shut because of the half the horror stories I've heard of how the professors and teachers out there behave. Not Christians, by the way, Hindu professors and teachers, the kind of arrogance and abuse of students that happens out there, the college itself would be shut. And it's quite a third-rate education you get at St. Stephen's, by the way. It's more of a social prostitution unit where you get to rub shoulders with the children of the high and mighty who desperately require social validation.
So with you know, with the current government, which is apparently the Hindu Rashtra government, will democracy survive as this current Hindu-fied government is breaking one government after the other in all states, targeting opposition politicians,
Sorry,
using
sorry, slow down again. Kya? Repeat.
basically question is, will democracy survive in the Hindu state? Because this current Hindu government, I mean, basically इनके अंदर का ध्रुव राठी जाग गया.
What is, but see, what is the point of, let them ask their questions. The whole point is we wanted questions like this, right?
गुड.
Will democracy survive after where Modi is desperately breaking the government in all states?
बेसिकली मोदी इज अ हिंदू
भाई
स्टेट ना.
भाई लुक, मोदी हैज एन ऑब्लिगेशन टू द बीजेपी टू कीप विनिंग इलेक्शंस. इज ही डूइंग एनीथिंग दैट्स इलीगल? ब्रेकिंग अ गवर्नमेंट इज परफेक्टली लीगल आउट हियर. हाउ डज दैट अफेक्ट डेमोक्रेसी? कांग्रेस ने ये 30 साल के लिए किया, तब डेमोक्रेसी वॉज इट इन डेंजर?
नहीं,
द
उन्होंने तो
डेंजर टू
इमरजेंसी कर दी,
डेमोक्रेसी
तभी भी
टूडे
डेमोक्रेसी डेंजर में नहीं थी.
एंड दैट चुतिया, वॉट के एम जोसेफ, एक्स जस्टिस के एम जोसेफ क्या बोल रहा था? रिमूविंग सोशलिस्ट एंड सेक्युलर फ्रॉम द कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन विच वॉज एनेक्टेड बाई द ब्लडी इमरजेंसी पार्लियामेंट अफेक्ट डेमोक्रेसी इन दिस कंट्री. ये चमन चुतिया सुप्रीम कोर्ट का जस्टिस था. साला ये बनने के लायक नहीं, चपरासी बनने के लायक नहीं, झाड़ू पोछा करने के लायक नहीं हरामजादा. अब द प्रॉब्लम आउट हियर इज, वेयर इज एनी ऑफ दिस इलीगल? इट इज द ड्यूटी ऑफ एन ऑपोजिशन टू स्टॉन्चली अपोज द गवर्नमेंट, ट्राई टू पुल डाउन द गवर्नमेंट. इनफैक्ट इट इज द ड्यूटी ऑफ द ऑपोजिशन टू पुल डाउन द गवर्नमेंट इफ दे कैन, एंड इट इज द ड्यूटी इक्वली ऑफ द बीजेपी टू ब्रेक अप एंड स्प्रेड देयर ओन पावर. यू आर अज्यूमिंग दैट मोदी हैज टू स्टार्ट बिहेविंग लाइक एन एंजल बिकॉज राहुल गांधी कांट गेट हिज एक्ट टूगेदर. इज मोदी इन एनी वे रिस्पॉन्सिबल फॉर राहुल गांधी स्टुपिडिटी?
Yeah, these are the
Mean, he
same
has
people.
absolutely no responsibility for an opposition to get its act together. We have a weak opposition क्योंकि opposition में चूतिये भरे पड़े हुए हैं. Is it bad? Generally, yes. I think better policy is made when you have a strong opposition. Is it illegal? No. Does it mean the end of democracy? No.
I find it actually I find it peculiarly weird, this kind of a mindset now. That if a sports team is winning match after match, or if a boxer is winning bout after bout, for the sake of equality, equity, and inclusiveness, that person should actually lose a game or two so that we
Yeah,
enhance the feeling.
enhance
This is
the yeah.
literally what
Now,
I mean.
yeah. Now, ED, CBI, please remind me again who created these extra, quasi judicial powers of the ED? इस सरकार ने बनाया था क्या?
चिदंबरम.
चिदंबरम ने बनाया था. इवन बिफोर चिदंबरम, दी एक्स्ट्रा दी सॉर्ट ऑफ क्वाजी जुडिशियल पावर्स ऑफ द ईडी एग्जिस्टेड. सीबीआई इंसिडेंटली हैज अ वेरी, सो अगेन दिस इज अगेन वेयर वी आर टॉकिंग अबाउट द इक्वल एप्लीकेशन ऑफ द लॉ. बट इन इंडिया यू हैव एक्सेप्टेड देयर इज नो इक्वल एप्लीकेशन ऑफ द लॉ. व्हाई इज इट दैट नूपुर शर्मा गेट्स अ डिफरेंट जजमेंट एंड दिस वन उदयनिधि स्टालिन गेट्स अ डिफरेंट जजमेंट? एंड इंसिडेंटली नूपुर शर्मा जस्ट कोटेड फ्रॉम द बुक. उदयनिधि वॉज एक्चुअली मेकिंग अ जेनोसाइडल स्पीच. ठीक है, सो दिस गेट्स सॉर्टेड आउट. द ईडी सीबीआई प्रॉब्लम, इज इट अ प्रॉब्लम पर से? नो, इट्स एक्चुअली इंडिया डूइंग वॉट इंडिया हैज डन फॉर द लास्ट 70 ईयर्स. इट्स नॉट दैट दिस डिडंट हैपन बिफोर, प्लीज रिमेंबर दैट. बट हाउ डिड इट सडनली एंडेंजर डेमोक्रेसी? इज इट हेल्दी? नो. Does it need to be gotten rid of? Yes. Do there need to be parameters and paradigms where certain trigger points are activated before you get in? Yes. But selectivity in the law, incidentally, is something that is there all across. There is no jurisdiction on earth where you can say you're prosecuting him but not prosecuting me. Sorry, prosecuting me but not prosecuting him. Why
I'll
is
take
only some January 6th protesters prosecuted but not others?
yeah I'll
Simple.
take one last question, because you had mentioned inheritance and all these rights. So how do you inherit idols or religious symbols which require certain nitya karma which will not be followed? What are the parents' rights in the UCC to stop this? I mean, I don't understand what has a ritual got to do with the framework of the Uniform Civil Code. Uniform Civil Code deals with your overall inheritance, not very specific inheritance. Do people in their will write about ye idol isko jayega, ye idol isko jayega? I have not read a single will in my life currently without a Uniform Civil Code where these things are written. I have not.
Show me that question again.
Okay, I'll put it up again.
See, this is actually an interesting question. I'll tell you why. If it is the father's murti, then the father has every right to disinherit the child of the murti if he believes that the rituals are not going to be followed. But if it is a family, if it is an inherited murti, unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about it. Okay, you can't carve out exceptions. अब बेटा अगर नालायक होगा या बेटी नालायक होगी, बस यू जस्ट हैव टू एक्सेप्ट इट. यू कांट प्रोटेक्ट एवरी आइडल एंड रिलीजियस सिंबल्स. दैट्स जस्ट द वे इट इज. यू जस्ट एक्सेप्ट दैट.
I have seen Abhijit support Republicans. What does he think about their pro-life stance? Do you think it will ever happen in India when population starts declining after some decades, a certain section or in Hindus who do not believe in the agency of women considered as a, and they consider women as a property?
I think the Republicans are too extreme, and a lot of it has been pushed by Democrats also being too extreme. You know, negating an abortion. Do you know what a how an abortion looks, Amna? The fetus actually is dissolved in by an acidic fluid inside the womb. This is a question that has to be left to science, and scientists have to be determine at what point the child becomes self-aware, the fetus becomes self-aware, and at what point it starts feeling pain. The moment it starts feeling pain and acquires self-awareness, this is a scientific question that has to be sorted out. The Democrats have made it an ideological issue, the Republicans have made it an ideological issue. And in the absence of clarity on that, I will always choose the Republican stance over the Democrat stance on this. The benefit of the doubt has to go to the fetus. You show me scientific evidence that the fetus is not self-aware or feels pain prior to, say, so many months or so many, this trimester or whatever. I will be the first person to support it. But I really want people to go watch what an abortion involves for the fetus inside it. I have huge ethical issues with it. Like, you know, I have accompanied my friend for an abortion in Australia. She wanted somebody to handhold her. I didn't think it was going to be a problem till I actually reached there. I had issues, but I kept it to myself because my friend did not come to me for a moral lecture. She came for emotional support, and I gave it to her. But since then, I have had a very hard think about this. To be fair, at that time, it was like maybe 1 month into pregnancy or things like that, where I was thinking, what if this thing actually has a sense of identity? What is it actually feeling at that point? It was actually when the doctor explained the procedure. I mean, the doctor didn't explain the ugly parts of what happens to the fetus. But I was thinking, boss, if that's happening, then essentially the baby is being dissolved. Which is kind of what forced that kind of introspection on me ki kya hone wala hai. I think a lot of the decisions made on this are based on not knowing the procedure. Doctors don't explain what happens to the baby. That is not informed consent. Informed consent is knowing what happens completely, not just to you, but also to the fetus. And second, that is exactly why you need more scientific inquiry on this. Because if you want to prevent that kind of nonsense coming into India as well, where you will have obscurantists who want the right to be abolished completely, you need to have a hard scientific basis to push back on it.
लास्ट अभी बंद कर देंगे. यू गाइज आर कॉन्ट्रडिक्टिंग. डजन मोदीज फंडिंग मदरसाज वायलेट इक्वालिटी अंडर लॉ? फंडिंग मदरसाज विल मेक हिम अ मौलाना. व्हाई नॉट? वेल, बिकॉज व्हेन गवर्नमेंट्स फंड दीज थिंग्स दे कम विद सर्टेन कैवियट्स ऑल्सो. यू हैव टू फॉलो
There are
नेशनल लॉज.
correct. It's not just following national laws, it is also accepting that you have backward communities. It is a funding for backwardness, it is not a funding specifically for the religion. You
Religion.
understand? It is the same. This is not affirmative action, it is reservation in a sense in that way. Affirmative action implies correction of historical wrongs. Reservation implies adequate representation. Here you have something that is particularly backward that needs attention, bringing them up to to the national mean. Right? It's like saying somehow that Hindutva implies the poor should always remain poor. And you should not have any schemes specifically targeted at them to raise them. That you can't have schools for special children. I believe there should be three tiers of schools. Schools which are for average performers, schools that are for brilliant kids who can progress much higher, and schools for weak students where you identify the problems and they get special attention, which is frequently more than what the good students get. But how is that discrimination? Some people need more help.
Which is called positive discrimination in the Rawlsian sense. And now somebody will say Rawls was Western. There is no winning here. I had to. Okay, before we end, is there anything else you think we could not cover? Because we literally answered every question that we could. Baki absolutely useless comments
Yeah,
the.
we've only answered questions that actually related to this.
Yeah.
We can't answer questions that are related to everything under
अरे कोई पॉडकास्ट सजेशन दे रहा है अभी,
this.
उसको मैं क्या इधर रीड करूं? आई एम नॉट
देखिए,
गोना रीड दैट.
हाँ, ठीक है. That's it.
या ओके गुड. सो वंस अगेन, इफ व्हाई आई सेड यस टू अभिजीत व्हेन ही टोल्ड मी लेट्स टॉक अबाउट दिस, इज वन ऑफ द बिगेस्ट रीजंस इज देयर इज एक्चुअली अ सिग्निफिकेंट चंक ऑफ माइनॉरिटीज ऑफ इंडिया दैट लिसन टू दिस पॉडकास्ट. आई हैव अ कंसिस्टेंट लिसनर बेस, एंड which is why I am glad we could answer all these questions. Start with differences between Rashtra and a Rajya. I think if somebody op impose the Hindu theocracy, the first ones to oppose it will be people like myself and Abhijit, because our first question will be सालो ये किसकी हिंदू थियोक्रेसी होगी. सबसे बड़ा क्वेश्चन तो वो होगा, हमको खुद को नहीं चाहिए, सो दूसरे को क्या बोलेंगे. एंड देर आर मेनी मिसकंसेप्शंस व्हेन वी टॉक अबाउट स्टेटहुड, इज बिकॉज I don't remember who gave this line. It was one of the atheists I used to read in my early college days, that the fundamentals of a religion it affects the fundamentalists of a religion. Hindu fundamentalists will be different from monotheistic fundamentalists, because monotheism and Hinduism as faith systems are very different. A Hindu state will have its own issues, which is why it'll go in a different direction.
And I've noticed in the general category, there's so much generalization about Muslims. I really want you chaps to travel to Muslim countries. This stereotype that people seem to have, a lot of you seem to have, not all of you. You really need to be traveling to these countries to see how different and vibrant they actually are. Okay, it is not some monotonous stereotypical role where women are consistently oppressed and shit like that. I think you really need to stop watching YouTube videos, including this video, possibly, and bloody book a ticket and go visit, say, UAE or Saudi Arabia or Iran and Syria for a few days and check things out.
Yeah, in fact, I realize how Indian Muslims are different is when I met Pakistanis, honestly. Honest confession. I was like, oh my God, just 70 years, 75 years of partition, and you can see they're very different.
Indian Muslim mindset is so totally different from a Pakistani mindset. It is just insane.
आगे
आई एम सिटिंग
आई
हियर गोइंग बीसी हम कहाँ आ गए हैं.
अरे आई आई जस्ट लीव यू विथ अ स्मॉल एनेक्डोट एंड देन एंड दिस. आई रिमेम्बर आई थिंक इट वॉज सम अमेरिकन एयरपोर्ट. आई वॉज फेसिंग माई बैक वॉज फेसिंग दीज टू गाइज. वन वॉज अ पाकिस्तानी मुस्लिम एंड वन वॉज अ इंडियन मुस्लिम. द पाकिस्तानी कैप्टन टॉकिंग अबाउट हाउ मुस्लिम्स सक लाइक इंडियन मुस्लिम्स आर यू नो बींग स्ट्रैंगल्ड दिस एंड दैट. द इंडियन मुस्लिम हर्ड हिज रैंट फॉर लाइक अ गुड 10-12 मिनट्स एंड देन गॉट सो फ्रस्ट्रेटेड एंड ही टोल्ड हिम ए भाई तुम्हारा देखो ना तुमने क्या उखाड़ा है, हम बहुत खुश है हमारे देश में. ही लिटरली सेड हम बहुत खुश है हमारे देश में एंड आई कुड कंट्रोल माई लाफ्टर सो आई वॉक्ड आउट ऑफ देयर. एंड क्या वो इंडियन मुसलमान ने वो पाकिस्तानी मुसलमान को तबियत से सुनाया था. इट वॉज अ रैंडम कॉन्वर्सेशन एट द एयरपोर्ट एंड इट वॉज अ वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग कॉन्वर्सेशन. एनी वेज वील एंड इट ओवर हियर. इफ यू हैव फर्दर क्वेश्चन यू कैन ट्वीट टू अभिजीत. आई हैव लेफ्ट हिज ट्विटर हैंडल इन द डिस्क्रिप्शन. एंड इफ यू वॉन्ट टू सपोर्ट द चारवर्क पॉडकास्ट यू नो द ड्रिल. मेंबरशिप ज्वाइन कर सकते हो पेट्रियन यूट्यूब फैनमो. यूपीआई से डोनेशन भेजनी है भेज दो. चारवर्क पॉडकास्ट की मर्चेंडाइज लेनी है kushalmehra.com पे जाओ. द बुक विल बी आउट अराउंड फर्स्ट वीक ऑफ अप्रैल और सेकेंड वीक ऑफ अप्रैल. बाकी अगर कुछ नहीं कर सकते हो ऑडियो लिसनर हो लाइक सब्सक्राइब जो कर रहा है वो वीडियो वाला कर दो रेटिंग ऑडियो पे भेज दो. आई सी यू गाइस नेक्स्ट टाइम. अंटिल देन टेक केयर. बाय बाय. जय श्री राम.
अच्छा बाय.